Hi, this is Angela Middleton, and welcome to my podcast called I Want to BA. The reason for this podcast is that there is a huge lack of careers advice in the UK, and I'm always asked by young people, by parents and by teachers, my views on improving careers advice, and particularly by parents, what should they say to their youngster who's leaving school. I think it is a wider subject. It's not just about what job do you want to do, but it is actually about how you want your life to be. And within that, what type of career you want to select. And that career can just be the first stepping stone. Nowadays, individuals have a whole portfolio of careers. The people that I've interviewed, even at the age of 30, have had four or five careers. Myself, I've had at least five different types of careers. So this podcast is about, firstly, talking about careers in general and careers advice, but secondly, bringing in individuals who have experienced careers in particular industries, hence the subject I Want to BA, and they can come and talk about the path that they took to actually get to where they are, and also talk about what it's like to actually do that job and have that career. So we'll be covering every type of career that we can think of in the UK, and it will be everything from architects to zoologists. So I look forward to comments, and we'll build things up as we go along, and hopefully it should be of great use to parents, to teachers and to young people. So today we have with us Simon Style, who is a senior associate at the large London law firm Mishcon de Reya. Now, I wanted to talk to Simon because he didn't have what you might call the traditional route into law. He actually had a career before that. And I think so many young people believe that they need to be clear on what they want to do when they leave school. And that I always say that isn't the case. And we have Simon here as a living, breathing example of that. So, Simon, thanks so much for joining us today. I know how busy you are doing all of the various different jobs involved in your legal career. But you started actually not in law, but in something very different, didn't you? You went to school in Stockport, and before actually going to university, you did a whole range of different types of work experience. So can you just tell us a little bit about that?
Well, certainly. I'm sure like many young people, I needed to earn money. I needed some spending money. And whilst I was at school and also whilst I was at university, I did a whole range of jobs. I worked in a chip shop. I worked at a Greyhound racing track in Manchester, testing the dogs for doping. I worked in a hospital laundry in Birmingham, sorting soiled underwear for to be cleaned.
Yeah.
I worked in a parachute factory. I did a whole range of jobs. Wow. To make ends meet.
And obviously you would have done that to make ends meet, as you say, and to earn some money. But any other reasons? Did it give you anything else?
Absolutely. When I went for proper job interviews, as you might call it, it gave me something to talk about. Yeah. I think it demonstrated that I could do hours, I could put the work in and the graft in, and that I could work with other people, and I wasn't just devoted to my studies and had no other outside interests.
Yeah, fantastic. So when you finished school, you decided to go to university. So tell us a little bit about that, you know, the topic that you selected, etc.
Well, I didn't really know what I wanted to do when I finished my A-levels, so I decided to do geography. I think I wanted to do geography because it gave me a broad range of options. It was a subject I really enjoyed at school, and I never met a geographer that I didn't like. So I thought that would be something that I could study and enjoy. I think it's important to enjoy what you're studying. And so I enrolled and did a geography BSc at Birmingham University.
And at the end of, or towards the end of your course, had you decided what you wanted to do, or was it still pretty much you were just going to sort of see what the options were?
I think it's fair to say that at the end of my studies, I still felt a bit of a generalist. I don't think I felt drawn at that time to one particular career. It was common at that time for companies to come to universities. It was known as the milk round. They would come to the university and they would interview prospective graduates for various roles. And I kept ending up with second interviews within retail.
Yeah.
And retail environment. Industries where it was meeting people and front facing. I was offered two jobs. One was working for Sainsbury's in Coventry, And the other job was working for Selfridges, a big department store in central London. So perhaps in a way it was a bit of a no-brainer, really.
So if, for those who just are not sure which one you chose, which did you choose?
Well, I wanted to come down to London.
Yeah.
See if the streets were paved with gold.
Yeah.
So I came down and I worked for Selfridges on Oxford Street. I joined their management training course, which was a fairly broad-based course. There was some training where they sent you off-site to do a management course in a West London college. But the majority of it was working on the shop floor and was learning the business from the ground up.
Great. And you then moved on into sort of one of their buying departments, didn't you?
Well, what it was, Selfridges had a fairly unique system at that time, which was buying was integral with the shop, the department management. So there wasn't a divorced buying group. So it was very good for getting experience both in the sharp end of retail, selling, but also in the buying of the products which you actually had on your shelves. And so I managed to get a broad-based education and experience in both of those things.
And you were buying in particular?
Well, I always worked in menswear. I started off working generally by working on the shop floor, men's suits, trousers, jackets, coats, that sort of thing. But I ended up, as one of my specific roles, buying the hats.
Right. Well, very smart you do look today, and I'm really disappointed that there's no hat to be seen. Do we next time, Simon?
Well,
next interview.
As it happens, the only hat, because I've got a round head, the only hat that really suits me is a bowler, and not many people don't wear those these days.
No, a taxi driver was telling me that. So you stayed in buying them for quite a bit. You sort of found a niche there, didn't you, for a while?
Yes, I did. I worked not just for Selfridges. I moved after a few years to buying pharmaceuticals, but probably for about 7-8 years, I worked in buying products. And then obviously those would be on retail. But yes, that was very much my career for the first 7-8 years.
Yeah. And obviously people, I don't want people to sort of click off and think that they've clicked on the wrong podcast here, because this is L for Law. And we are going to come on to how you managed to achieve, the lofty heights that you have in the law in world. But I just wanted to make the point that, you did 7 or so years actually in retail management and procurement before you even touch law. So it's a great message to people that people can change their careers, and in fact that's very common now.
I think so, and I have 2 children myself, both of whom are going through the education at the moment.
Yeah.
One of whom is very sure about what he wants to do. My daughter still is far from deciding.
Yeah.
And I think one thing that there should be a message is that you don't have to. You can come to the law later in life. You can come to the law after a bit, as I'm sure we'll come to. There are lots of different ways of doing that. But it was, to me, I had been doing 6 or 7 years in something completely different before I decided that I wanted to work in the law and make that my ultimate career.
Great. So tell us about that journey then. Obviously, you decided that you were going to retrain, so you started to take the necessary steps to do that.
Yeah, that's right. Although I had a degree, and I could have used that degree to do a conversion course. At that time, I was not long married, and I had just started a family. Mm. So it was very important to me that I was able to train, that my training was on the job, that I was able to do both a career, I had to work in the law, but also to be able to train while I was doing that. Mm. I wasn't in a position where I could simply take several years off at my own expense to become a solicitor. Mm. So I joined a small criminal-based law firm in central London, very much at the bottom. If I could say that my first job that I did was to actually help them move boxes from one office to the other.
Yep.
I worked very much in administration, fetching, carrying things, organising supplies, but also had the opportunity to be exposed to the legal world and the legal environment.
Yeah,
there is law, like lawyers, like everybody else, need lots of help and services. And I was able to work with qualified lawyers and learn and take on that experience.
Right. And how long did your training take, sort of from start to sort of finish, as it were?
Well, you can go within reason, you can go as fast or slow as you like.
Mm.
With me, it was organizing the training around my family and work commitments.
Yeah.
I did a period of 4 years in which I studied to become what is known as a legal executive.
Yeah.
A legal executive is now known as a chartered legal executive.
Yeah.
Is a well-respected, well-known legal qualification, which is transferable between firms. And the work that you do as a legal executive is, to all intents and purposes, the same work that you will do as a solicitor. But yeah. It's work that you do, you learn vocationally on the job, a combination of work experience. You have to be working, you work in the law, you do it as a combination of work experience and training. Once I qualified as a legal executive, I did another 2 years after that, completing my core subjects and getting on the job vocational training. By that point, I was working very much as a fee earner. I had my own caseload. I had my own experience, and I was, to all intents and purposes, working both full-time but also studying to get my solicitor qualification.
So you worked for that relatively small law firm in London for some years, and during that time, you said you were talking to a whole variety of different organisations, law firms, etc. And that then resulted in your move to your current firm, which is one of the largest law firms in London. So tell us about that.
Well, I've always worked in the contentious side of the law, and what I mean by that is, in dispute resolution. It's the nature of any lawyer's job that they're talking to other law firms, they're discussing their cases, and they're discussing the resolution of those cases. I was coming to the end of my legal training, and I was just about to qualify as a solicitor, and those conversations would come up. And because you are working on the other side, other law firms recognize your contribution. They recognize, you hope they recognize, the value of you, if you can call it, the opposition. And I got a few people saying, well, look, what have you got? What are your plans? And why don't you come over for a chat? So I got the offer to do that for my current firm. I went along, I spoke to a few of the partners there, and I was offered a job.
Now, to come on to your current role, you actually work for Mishcon, which, as we said, is one of the bigger law firms in the middle of London. As you were explaining, there are a huge range of law subjects, and people tend to specialise in one area. So if you could tell us a little bit, firstly, about the different aspects of law that there are, and then let's talk about the one that you focus in on and your role.
Yes, I mean, it's easy when you're standing on the outside looking in to think that the law is all about a solicitor knows the law. Well, the law is an enormous subject. It touches everything that we do. If you go into a sweet shop to buy something in a sweet shop, you are forming a legal contract. It touches everything that we do. And inevitably, solicitors will specialise because they must specialise. Mm. Nobody can be an expert of everything. Nobody carries a textbook around in their head and can quote every single section of every single law.
So, Simon, do you have a sort of a normal week as such? I mean, what sort of things does your role on a day-to-day basis consist of?
Well, what I would say is there's nothing about my job I would call routine.
Okay.
That's not to say there isn't a sort of cycle of things that you do, but the thing to realise is that when a client walks through your door, they're an individual and they have an individual set of circumstances. Mm. And therefore, your job is to create a bespoke and individual solution to their problems. So whilst the general cycle, as I referred to it, would be start with a client contact, sitting down with a client and explaining and understanding what their issue is. There'll be a review of the documents and the information the client's provided you with, and looking at the bigger picture. The client will then want some advice. That advice is always going to be very similar. They're going to want to know what the solution is. They're going to want to know how much it's going to cost, and they're going to want to know how long it's going to take.
How many of these go to court? I mean, do you spend much time in court or?
Well, I spend time in court before you move into litigation. Sometimes looking from the outside, you think that it's all LA law and cross-examination in court. It's anything but that.
Yeah.
Yes, some cases, some matters go all the way through proceedings to trial, but a very small percentage. I don't know what the actual national figure is, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's 2 or 3% actually go to trial. But there's a whole procedure and a many stages before that, including when a client comes to you, trying to solve the problem without going to court.
Right.
Much better to compromise and settle and find a result that both parties can live with than to go into the court process with all the cost and time that that involves.
So what sort of hours do you work?
Well, my core hours are 9:30 to 6, but they are core hours. And I think in most jobs with seniority experience comes, you have to be flexible. So I won't lie and say that sometimes the hours can be very long. We have to work to client deadlines, not to our own deadlines, but they can be long. And then for other times, there can be a period where they can be quite regular. And, you know, you will have no problem with weekends and evenings, etc. But if you've got a good team around you and you've got proper support, then it is all manageable. And perhaps, as I said earlier, if you enjoy what you're doing and if you get a buzz out of what you're doing, then sometimes when you have to work long hours, then you feel you're working for a common cause.
Mm. And with this role, where could it lead for you? What would be next steps if you should you wish to take them?
Well, within a law firm, there are a number of different levels within a law firm via junior associates, more senior associates, junior partners, and ultimately full equity partners who all own a share of the business. They share in the upsides of the business and they share in the downsides. You hope they're going to be upsides, but they do share in the downsides. And then managing board, and ultimately, you know, you run a law firm like you run a big business.
And just finally, I'm hoping now that our audience, having listened to, you know, to, number one, to your journey, but also the content of the role and the sorts of variation that you've got and the things you're dealing with, that, you know, any misapprehensions they had about a career in law have now been dispelled. And for those that are interested and really want to take the next steps, what would you recommend to them?
As I've mentioned, there are quite a number of different routes into the law. There's the more traditional route in doing a law degree and working through the traditional steps. And there is doing it more vocational, which is what I did. I think, like everything, if you are really keen on a law career, and I think law is a career, it's not a job. It is something that if it gels with you and you get into it, is a very rewarding and interesting job. You get as much experience as you can in those legal environments. A lot of barristers' chambers and solicitors will run vacation schemes. They will run work experience schemes. And if you have family and friends who are working in any kind of legal environment, it's always good to get some on the job experience. And I know from my friends and family, I have had any number of people who have said, could my son or daughter come along and doing a week? And they always do. And whether they decide to become a lawyer, I don't know, but they always leave having enjoyed it. Don't look as law as being a daunting career full of highbrow Cambridge intellectual academics all working in a library and coming up with the ideal solution and changing the law. It isn't like that at all. Yes, it is a career. You've got to work at it. Understanding the legal framework and knowing your law is very important. But it's like most things. It's a practical job. And those people who work hard, understand client problems, apply themselves, will find that they will flourish.
That's fantastic. And I think the point you made to me as well about the beauty of this career is the difference you can make.
It is a difference you can make. There are lots of ups and downs. You can make a real difference to people's lives. You always want them to put them in a better position at the end of their engagement with the company than they were when they walked through the door. And in that sense, it can be very rewarding. And it can be very worthwhile. And I can guarantee, and I don't think this is true of all jobs, is that when you're leaving school, you're probably difficult to project yourself 20 years on. But when somebody asks you, what do you do? you will always have a good story to tell.
Thank you very much indeed, Simon, for that insight. And I think you've actually inspired me, and I'm sure you will have inspired our listeners. So thank you very much indeed. Thank you.